time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. You know, today is about the hydrologic cycle. It's about, well, you'd say the water cycle, but we're big-time scientist people, so we call it the hydrologic cycle. And pretty apropos today, it's actually raining outside the studio. You see, I'm surrounded in my studio. I have these huge windows because, hey, since I'm the outdoor guy and when I do my podcast, I'm sort of locked indoors talking about outdoor stuff. I get to check all outside. It was raining torrentially before, and now it's just a little cloudy out. I mean, the stratus clouds are covering the sky, but it's not raining because, hey, did you ever realize it doesn't rain from every cloud? And that's today you'll learn why. So let's start with the hydrologic cycle. And let me ask you a question. Here's your question. Early Earth had what percentage of water on it? Survey says, and people give all these different answers, early Earth had 0% water. How cool is that? Like, that's actually one of the coolest facts that I'll probably ever tell you, even though I will tell you some pretty neat ones. You know, so you've got 0%. So you say, okay, so where did the water come from? People say, well, how about the hydrologic cycle? Well, ain't wrong. Can't have the cycle because there's no water. All of the water that is on the Earth came from inside the Earth. How cool is that? Think about this. Zero water on the Earth. All this water is inside the Earth. So you say, well, how did it come out? Well, there was a time on Earth that was very magmatic. Magmatic means lots of volcanoes, geothermals going on. So the water and the number one gas that happens to be in a volcano happens to be water vapor. So all this came out. You know, as scientists, we now accept that there is 75 to 78% plus minus percentage of water on Earth today. So if you look at a map, you see obviously it's all or mostly all blue. Now, think about how crazy this is. All of that was inside the Earth. That's pretty neat. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. The way that we get this hydrologic cycle rolling is we need my four Asian words. And you go, what do you mean Asian words? They are my four words I call that end in A-T-I-O-N are my four Asian words. And we'll chat a little bit about it. But you should know that this podcast is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. You can see the new Joey B Signature Series at TranquilityMountain.com, where adventures begin. Now, let's talk about the first Asian word. Most of you probably already know it's evaporation because it ends in A-T-I-O-N. That is when water changes to a gas. So you have water evaporating up from the new seas, lakes, rivers, oceans, and it's going up. But if we didn't have this next thing, then we would have the hydrologic cycle occurring over all the bodies of water, but that's not true. So what's going to get the water or the evaporation of water from above a sea onto land? What do you got? Well, the answer is wind. So as we had, you know, warm air rising, cold air settling, convection currents, topic for another day. I'll tell you some really cool wind facts. And as you had that going on, the wind is now blowing some of that evaporated moisture on or above land. Well, we know as you get further and further from the Earth's surface, it begins to get a little cooler. As it gets cooler, then we get condensation to occur. Condensation is where you have a water vapor changing back to a liquid. Well, with this condensation, the second Asian word, what we need to get at that point, we need to get clouds. So let's figure out how clouds form. And people say, oh, condensation, that's how you get cloud. Well, no. Actually, there's a recipe for this. Like, you know how, I guess, in your kitchen, you might have like a little recipe cards you're going to follow. You're going to make a cool meal tonight. You pull out the card and you follow it. Well, if I had a recipe card and I had a recipe for a cloud or cooking up a storm or whatever you want to label on it, there's three ingredients you need to make a cloud. Well, one of them is water vapor. That was the evaporation going on. The second one is cool air. Well, that's how you're getting it to condense the condensation. But the third one, or the third ingredient, is the most important one. And that's something called condensation nuclei. And you need something for that water vapor as it goes back to a liquid to cling on to. And the number one thing in air that is not a gas, that is not water, is dust. Well, we have dust all over. And the way I'll describe this is maybe on a nice sunny day, you're looking, you know, you're in your room or something, and you see the dust coming in, or dust is in the air. Well, that's all over the earth. And that dust is supposed to be there, and it's a good thing because that condensation nuclei is what allows us to actually have clouds formed. And, you know, it's funny, growing up, and I'm sure I've mentioned this to you, but growing up, I was a perfect child. I never, ever got in trouble. And my mother would come into my bedroom, like maybe on a sunny day, and she'd see, you could see this dust in the air, and she'd say, "Well, you see all the dust in this room?" And you see, I would just sort of be quiet at that point, and yes. But as a scientist, I probably said, "Well, Mom, do you realize that that is condensation nuclei?" Probably not the thing to say as a child. So I held back then, being Joey Jr. scientist man. But so now we've got clouds that are formed with condensation nuclei, but there's more than just dust. Pollution happens to be one of the condensation nuclei. So if you happen to live near a more polluted part of the earth, you may get more rain. I think about near L.A. where they have smog, and there's a lot of pollution there. And there's another thing I call atmospheric junk. And the atmospheric junk is some other things naturally occurring that would be in the atmosphere that would make it another condensation nuclei. And one of them happens to be volcanic ash. Volcanic ash, as it goes up, will create some tremendous storms. After Mount St. Helens had gone off, some of the towns nearby had these raging storms for days because there was so much volcanic ash, henceforth so much condensation nuclei, and they had raging storms. And the last of my atmospheric junk happens to be salt spray. And if you live near the ocean, when ocean water, seawater evaporates, you get a little bit of salt that rises up with it, but it is enough to do condensation nuclei. And because you have that condensation nuclei, that's where you actually get you get more clouds to form there. So now let's go back. And let's go back to my question about, okay, so we had evaporation, condensation. We know the fourth Asian word is going to be precipitation, and we'll get there in a little bit. But let's think, okay, so what's the third Asian word? And if you notice, it doesn't rain from every cloud, and we said that, and I'm still looking outside, and I got this stratus cloud cover going on, and no rain. And before, I had a stratus cloud cover and rain. And so you say, all right, so why not? Well, here it is, that third Asian word. And it's funny, if I am ever out in front of the youth, and they're asking questions about hydrologic cycle, and I'm chatting away, and I say, okay, give me that third Asian word. They will give me every word that ends in A-T-I-O-N. Some of the words they actually make up, and some of the funniest words you'll ever hear as they, again, sometimes just using their creativity, which is really cool. But the third Asian word happens to be accumulation. If you don't have enough accumulation inside the cloud, well, then it can't rain. So think about this. You've got a water droplet now in a cloud, and it bumps into another water droplet, and it becomes twice the size. Well, when the droplets get large enough, gravity says, come on down, and pulls them on down. And that's actually how you get precipitation. So if you ever notice that sometimes you get these really dark clouds and it's raining a lot from them, well, they are thicker clouds. There's more accumulation in those clouds. My general rule is the darker the cloud, the thicker the cloud. Because, hey, we know the sun's always out, and sometimes the clouds are in the way. And the reason why, like I'm looking out, and my stratus clouds right now are pretty light, which means they're pretty thin. Henceforth, not enough accumulation, not enough rain. Now, we can talk about, like, all right, so cloud formation. So where do they form at? And, you know, here's one of the neat things. I mean, you can go to the Weather Channel or whatever channel you use. Wonderground Weather is actually one of my favorite ones as well. And you look up at a cloud and you go, well, how high up is that cloud? And it's actually pretty easy to take a look at it and say, okay, the cloud base is at, and this is how we do that. We take a look at the temperature at ground level. We also need to know the dew point at ground level. So let's just play the make-believe that temperature today happens to be 60 degrees F and the dew point is 40 degrees F. Well, you know that when you climb up a mountain, every time you climb up a mountain, you go up 1,000 feet, temperature drops 5 degrees F. That's why it gets cooler as you're going up. So there's your general rule so you can figure out, well, where do I live And if I'm heading up into the mountains, okay, it's cooler. And you could actually make that – if you know the temperature where you're at right now and you know how high up you're going, you could figure that out. So if we were to climb up 1,000 feet, that 60-degree temp drops to 55 degrees F. And the dew point stays the same. We didn't talk about dew point changing. The dew point is the temperature at which condensation occurs. So then you go up to 2,000 feet, and now you've got it's 50 degrees F. Dew point still 40 degrees. You go up 3,000 feet, 45 degrees F. Dew point 40 degrees. Well, guess what? We're going to get to 4,000 feet, and both of them, temperature and dew point, are the same. And when temperature and the dew point are the same, you get 100% humidity, and that's where the clouds are forming. So you could actually look up, and you can make – it's pretty neat. If you want to know about cloud heights and helps you with your predicting the weather, so if you happen to be an outdoor person or just someone who just generally wants to know about the nature, you can check out Weather Channel, find out dew point, find out ground – you're going to need to know ground temps, and then sort of put them together and just keep subtracting the five degrees F every 1,000 feet you go up. And then you can look outside and go, oh, that cloud's 5,000 feet today. Oh, that cloud's 7,000, whatever it is on those days. And that's how you can tell those. So, you know, we were going to the accumulation, the third Asian word, so you can get precipitation. And with precipitation, you can get the rain, snow, sleet, hail. And from all that, you're actually going to get some local weather. And local weather is like probably one of the neater things. So as you travel around the country, you can get some, I guess, just some varied weather. And sometimes you might be close to something, and because of some feature, it could be a mountain, whatever it is, weather changes. And I'm going to give you a couple different, local weather that would talk a lot about this hydrologic cycle and some of the fun things that go along with it. Well, in Syracuse, which is near Lake Ontario, you know, for the most part, the Great Lakes do not freeze solid. So as cold air comes over from Canada and goes across there, cold air really doesn't pick up a lot of moisture, but you have the Great Lakes, it's this great, and it just picks it up. And right outside in north of Syracuse, where my buddy's Doug lives, it just dumps, poof, the lake effect snow that's there. And there's times where some of the places will get, and think about how crazy this is, they get 2 to 3 feet of snow a day. Now, how nuts is that? Tug Hill, and they used to hold the record. The record was broken by somewhere else up there. Think about this. One day, 24-hour period, they had over 8 feet of snow. So think about that. That's local weather. You live in that area, but if you live a little bit south by maybe 50 miles, it doesn't even exist. I mean, it snows, but you don't get those amounts, so it just happens to be that wind pattern over Lake Ontario dumps it on there. Well, I've been out to Montana many times, did a lot of my research out there on grizzly bears, and the saying in Montana is, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, it'll change, and it sure does. And I'll give you a real, I guess, nutsy type of scenario. I'm out in the top of the Rockies, literally, we're backpack, all of our research gear, everything we need to survive on our backs. So it is now summertime, it's early August, and you're seeing these cumulonimbus clouds, these monstrous clouds, lifting up over one of the peaks of the Rockies. And here I am hiking in a pair of shorts, a t-shirt, it's probably in the 70s, and as quick as I could drop my backpack, put every bit of winter gear on, and try to find the nearest tree, hopefully evergreen tree. Now, if we're above tree line, we're in trouble. If we're at tree line or below tree line, you're looking for a tree. I'm sort of going to use it as my umbrella. And in 5 minutes, it will go from the 70s down to the 20s or 30s, and it will be snowing. We've had some hail, a little bit warmer. Matter of fact, I got whaled by hail. We were up probably about 11,000 feet. And the hail was about the size of a golf ball. We had a tree to sort of break some of the fall of it. But let me tell you, when you get whaled by hail, it hurts a bit. But that's the 5 minutes. Now, I am not exaggerating. If you don't like the weather, it'll change. You wait the 5 minutes in Montana. And maybe 5 minutes after that storm has blown past. It is now 70 degrees. You're taking off all of your winter gear. And you're back to your t-shirt and shorts, and you're now hiking in, you know, a couple inches of snow. And again, nature is pretty neat. And, you know, this is one of those, you're looking at these awesome adventures. And in Montana, their snow date in the mountains is August 20th, which means when I say it could snow big time anytime after that date. And one of the times I was just done with my research, I'm actually going to be coming out of the mountains. I have my good old rented truck. I'm going to head down to Colorado, do some fly fishing because life is good. And it was August 22nd, and I got hit with a blizzard, bonafide blizzard, in the top of the Rockies. And that's August 22nd. I remember the date so well. So local weather, as I said, pretty neat. And let me tell you, the first time I was going out to my, Minnesota now, and I'm going to do my wolf research. So it's early summer. I'm going to meet up with a team of scientists and get picked up at the airport. A couple scientists were in a van. We're going toward out in the – we're actually staying in a log cabin this time, so it's pretty neat. And we're heading out towards the cabin. And as we're going there, I see – you all know what a stop sign and the size of one is. I see these stop signs that are maybe about a quarter of the size and about three feet off the ground. And that's the size I'm seeing. And I'm just looking at them, and we're passing them. And every now and then, a couple miles later, you see one, and you get to an intersection, you see one. And I'm sort of joking in my mind. It's like if you've ever been to a circus growing up, and you have those little clown cars, and all the clowns come out in this tiny little car. And I said to the driver who's driving us to our research rendezvous, I said, you got clown cars that drive around here? And I'm pointing to one of the stop signs. And he said, snowmobiles. And I said, oh. Because you see, in Minnesota, it gets so cold and snowy in the backcountry, you know, this is near the boundary waters, that you don't use a car in the wintertime. You use a snowmobile in the wintertime to go to school, go to work. So how neat is that? You know, like when you were a little kid and you had those little one-piece snowsuits that they put on? Well, here you are. You're an accountant. Put your suit on. Then you put your snowsuit on over that. You got your goggles. Your briefcase is in a pack on the back of your snowmobile, and you've got heated grips because you need those, and that's my snowmobile sound, and off you go to work. Well, so you've got that type of thing in Minnesota. And when I was out in Idaho, and I thought this was really neat, we were in the sagebrush steppe, so I'm doing some plant research out there, and while I'm doing the plant research, now the sagebrush steppe happens to be a desert region. So watch this. You're climbing up the Rockies and you get 7,000, 8,000 feet. And then all of a sudden, it literally flattens out for about 60 miles. And it is a desert up there. And, you know, people don't think about, you know, desert regions as being that high up. And you could actually watch a storm coming across. So you'd see this cumulonimbus cloud like racing across the sagebrush steppe at you. And you're seeing this cloud. And as it's close, you're seeing the raindrops coming down. And then when it gets over you, all of a sudden, you can see the raindrops coming down, but they never hit the ground. And they never hit the ground because it was so warm, they were evaporating and going up. I tell you, you talk about nature and one of the cooler things, that was it. And the first day I am there in Idaho, I wake up in the morning. I am now about to shower, shave. And while I'm shaving, put the shaving cream on my face, and I'm shaving my face, and I shave one side, and by the time I get to the other side of my face, the shaving cream is dried like a crust on my face because it was so dry there, and that's where you got that evaporation going on with those cumulonimbus clouds. I realized that I can only put shaving cream on half of my face, shave, and then re-wet the face and shaving cream on the other half and shave. And that's just how it went for the months that I was out there. So that was pretty neat. And I'm sure you know about, if any of you have gone to Disney World in Florida, when I was playing many years ago, soccer, I was playing down at LSU. And, you know, you could set your watches there, local weather, by 3 o'clock, you could set your watch by the storms that would occur. Because about 3 in the afternoon, you'd get so much evaporation, so much condensation, so much accumulation that you would get these monstrous storms there. So you could actually feel the humidity, the moisture in the air. And then every day about 3 p.m., the storms would come down. So you see, we talk about all these different hydrologic features. We talk about the cycle itself. We talk about all this local weather. And I know that some of you have a question for me. And if you have a question for me about this topic or maybe a future topic you'd like me to cover, you can tweet me at Joey B News. So it's at Joey B News, J-O-E-Y-B-E News. And if you wanted to watch any of my adventures or all of my adventures, you can actually go online to joeyb.tv. That's J-O-E-Y-B-E.tv. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's J-O-E-Y-B-E.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure. Joey B's at the adventure.
That was awesome.